Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Yes!
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
And you love it. It is both types of sports right now with just Shoot. Tour will be here in just a couple of few. Thank you so much for being here. If you're watching live on the YouTube feed. If you are watching on YouTube or Facebook on X, I want to remind you that we podcast this some of a bitch. Just go over to iTunes or Spotify. If you're watching, you can look at the bottom. Those are the links. There be the links. There she blows. Subscribe, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your pods. And leave us a nice review, you know, even if you don't want to put any cash on the barrel head. Whatevs. I can't coerce you into giving me your money. What I can do is ask you to fucking hit like on this goddamn video and leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy us talking some sports like rubes in boobs. Everything you see today, Ryan O'Halloran will join us later from the Buffalo News. Of course, the Buffalo Bills advancing in the tournament, triumphing over the Baltimore Ravens. Very, very excited. Very, very excited that the Bills prevailed and will be pulling hard for them against Zesty Pat and his fucking merry band of referee chum. Oof, do I want to get to some of that shit today? But before he comes on and joins me, before Tor joins me, I want to remind you that everything you see here today is presented by Dream Stay Getaways. God damn, it's cold. It's icy. I almost slipped and fell and busted my ass on the way into my studio today. I got a studio. That's not a humble brag. That's just what we call a brag. I'd like to get out. I might just go to dreamstaygetaways.us, go to Universal Studio. I don't want to give Disney my money. They can go, you know, one of these. But, you know, I'd like to ride that VelociCoaster. Why not book directly through Dreamstay Getaways? They got amazing houses, movie theaters in them, games, pool tables, all the fun stuff. Go check out the pictures on the website. They're on Instagram, too. Just go at Dreamstay Getaways on there or go to the website. They're beautiful. The homes are on resorts. They're within striking distance of all the parks. Check it out. And they're our presenting sponsor. You can whack out all those Airbnb, Vrbo fees, and all of that shit. Also, before we get into the meat of the program, always want to remind you, turn on accept gifted memberships. If you're watching live, there is a link pinned to the top of the chat. It's also in the description. You can make sure that you get your free membership. If somebody comes cruising here, a lot of times they're just hanging around. We get so many people bombing us with gifted memberships. We're blessed that way that you can probably just turn it on right now and you'll get one. And then you get the whole back catalog of solid dudes. All the fun shit that we do. Started watching The Shield. Holy shit, Duke's Nose is great shows. Yeah, The Shield's a good television show. I am the only one that's ever said that, Jake, so I'll take full credit for it if that's the way you want to view it. Where do we begin today?
Now it's time for the NFL on X on both types of sports.
So you didn't know you were dealing with a real high-end, high production value, high-budget show, but you are. It's type of cats we are. You come stalking around here, you're going to get, I mean, holy shit, are we? Is this the NFL Network? Am I watching Fox Sports 1? Is Joy Taylor blowing dudes, allegedly?
Now it's time for the NFL on X on both types of sports.
Sure is. Boom. Can you fucking imagine? I take a lot of shit for being a Tennessee Titans fan, and I'm rewarded with that from dysfunctional ownership, shoddy personnel decisions, questionable draft tactics, minimal home field advantage. What else? The exodus of two of the best players in the history of the league in their position. The firing of the hottest head coaching candidate on the market for this offseason. But as Easton Freeze points out here, we dodged the proverbial bullet of the AJ Brown versus Derrick Henry doomsday device Super Bowl. Holy shit. As if life wasn't difficult enough for me football wise, it would have been even worse if that was the case. So, yeah, I'm happy about that. There's lots to be happy about if you're a football fan. I don't think Zesty Pat is a reason for us to be. The NFL has prioritized keeping Zesty Pat safe over the sanctity and the reputation and the nobility of their game. That ain't good for us. I think this is good for us, though, if we are fans of football as a whole. Bears, as we are listening to this, it's not official, but they are hiring Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson as their new head coach. For a couple reasons why this is good. One, as much as I enjoy watching the Detroit Lions play football, as much as I like seeing a city like Detroit that's had all kinds of real life struggles to go along with their sports struggles over the years, I've enjoyed watching them excel. Got pretty fucking chesty this year, didn't they? Got pretty goddamn chesty this year, and then their coach is sobbing all over the fucking microphone after the season's over. Chicago Bears are hiring Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, which is being reported by NFL insider Jonathan Jones, amongst others. The Lions Johnson-led attacks averaged 29 points per game since becoming the OC in 2022, most in the NFL. 33.2 points per game they produced in 2024 led the league. Of course, these are all franchise records, as well as the Lions are sorry. Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, consecutive first-team All-Pro selections. He is only 38 years old. Of course, he will be tasked with Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Roma Dunza, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. As it notes here, the fifth worst scoring offense in the league in 2024, averaging 18.2 PPG. So that's breaking as we are starting the show. I'll get Tor's thoughts on that in just a couple of few. Ah, he's here. I think he's early. He is early. Never let it be said that young people are worthless bags of shit and they are not to be trusted. Hello, Gigantor. How are you, buddy?
I was just getting off my soapbox yelling about young people being young bags of shit that can't be trusted.
That's right. Unfortunately, I've already gone out into my front yard and pissed that whole thing in the snow. Then I take selfies and I print them out and I tape them to the doors of all of my neighbors that have young kids. Since we just got started, the only thing that I've discussed is we went through all of the NFL tweets for the entire day.
Now it's time for the NFL on X on both types of sports.
Unfortunately, you missed that portion of the show by not showing up 10 minutes early and only showing up 5 minutes early. But we were just talking about the fact that it looks like, and it finally happened. We had breaking news as we were starting the show instead of an hour after we posted the show. Ben Johnson heading for the Bears. If you're tuning in, we will get to all the playoff games. We'll get to the Commanders. I want to talk about the refs. I want to talk about it all. But this is wild because I think not only is this a great hire for the Bears, but this cripples, and I'm not being over dramatic here, I think this cripples the Detroit Lions. I think that Dan Campbell is the guy who cuts the big promo, manages the coordinator. Maybe they got a young Padawan in training that can do what Ben Johnson did with Jared Goff, but those stats are readily available at how Goff performed before he had this partnership. If you can cripple your opponent and the team that won the division and make your team better, some might call that a masterstroke by Chicago.
After Saturday night, I thought there was a slim chance, but a chance that Ben Johnson, as he did last year, wanted to come back for more. Maybe wanted to run it back and win one with Detroit. His name was circulating last year, circulating this year. A little heavier, though. I was surprised he jumped so quickly at the Bears, but if the Bears are that far ahead of the Raiders, because those two teams seem to be the big two making the push, and that cannot be good for Vegas if it was that quick on the Monday to make that decision. Like, I'm not even going to entertain you guys. I'll go to Chicago. They got the young quarterback. They got the talent. Maybe I can make something happen here. Vegas, it has to just feel like the lone island that can't get a ship to stop.
Well, how much money, in your opinion, would be enough? There's what building blocks are in Vegas that can rival, you know, you have your quarterback, you know, you've got unbelievable skill position. Everybody underproduced last year. You don't even have to be that much better for people to cut you some slack your rookie year. Like, I can't, it would have to be, I mean, what's life-changing money when this guy's going to be getting $10 million a year or whatever he's going to be getting for you to go to a much lesser franchise?
It would have to be like $20 million a year. I mean, comparing Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers to Rome Odunze and DeAndre Swift and all the guys, DJ Moore, if he's still there, and that keeps him there, all the talent that Chicago worked this year to bring in, I think, you know, maybe Ben Johnson can do something with it. It's not the young track team that Detroit is, but Detroit's going to have to also figure out what they want to be pretty quick, because if we're going to spend the whole offseason flip-flopping and trying to do Ben Johnson stuff, and it becomes a situation where we can't do Ben Johnson stuff, then you got to figure out what you want to be pretty quick.
I guess. I think that the argument that we're going to a less dysfunctional organization is not fair. I think the Bears are as dysfunctional as they come, and I think they showed that by having this immaculate offseason and then sticking with the same head coach and not having a fresh start. Like, there is just – they fumbled as big as you could fumble this. I mean, name another team. I can't think of another team that had greater expectations that fell as flat. Maybe the San Francisco 49ers, just because we penciled them into the NFC Championship again, but they had so much. They had players shot. They were having all these injury issues. Chicago fumbled the bag about as much as you possibly can, but the Raiders haven't been right in my life, save for some John Gruden years. You know, like, it's just never fucking happened. So if you want to talk about turning a ship, a giant fucking barge in the right direction, give me the ones with the, at least the boat workers that are going to be capable of doing it. You're going to have to rebuild the whole team if you go to the Raiders, on top of teaching everybody all of your crazy mysticism and chicanery on offense.
I think the Bears got shafted by Minnesota being good this year, and good for the regular season is what I'll put it. And they ran into a good team, a better team in the playoffs. But if Minnesota was like a 6-win, 7-win team like we were expecting, then I think the Bears would have got caught cut a little slack. We say, all right, well, we thought the Lions were going to be good. We thought the Packers were going to be good. But the Vikings being as good as they were really made it look like Chicago was the black sheep in the division. And I think they have more potential than just being a perennial number four team in a good division that right. they have in the NFC North. So I think it is an improvement. Any hire is an improvement, as long as the coach had not previously been there and the head coach had not previously been there and had a failing regime 4 years prior. It's really good what Chicago's doing, and other teams are obviously not learning from that process.
I don't know how to feel about the Lions tour. And maybe we should start there if we're going to start the playoffs. What are they, 16 starters, I think. I remember the first year I was a Titans fan, they had 13 wins. They were the one seed in the division. They lose in the first round. They had as many injuries as any team I'd ever seen. Mike Vrabel got them to a one seed. Nobody cut them 1 ounce of slack. I'm seeing a lot of slack get cut for the Lions. And I wanted to play this. Everybody has seen it, but just because I want to refer to it directly, I want to give context. This, of course, is Weepy Dan Campbell. After the big loss, Commanders went in and whipped that ass.
It just hurts to lose, man. And I don't care if you're the 7 seed, 6 seed, 5 seed.
First of all, this is hard to watch just because I don't know why it's worse when it's a big, tough ogre guy weeping. Like, if it was, you know, Ted Boris sitting up there getting murky-eyed in front of that, like, okay, that's fine. He's 5 foot nothing. Like, I don't know why it hurts me more to see him upset, but I've got some thoughts on the end of it.
1 seed, because I've lost it all of them damn near, and it stings, and it hurts. So, you know, it hurts. You have to get up. Bodies beat to shit, and, you know, mentally stay locked in and do those things. So, long season.
Let me start with this. I appreciate anyone that gets up behind that podium, Tor, and shows real emotion, you know, like lets you show what they're actually. And I believe him. Like, this is not just my ankles are sore, so I have to wear flip flops like basketball players. I'm going to go and head and express some of that load management. These guys are fucking each other up week in and week out. So I appreciate that. And I do feel bad because I'm sure it's awful. These guys were twats the whole season. They were talking shit. They were talking about how much ass they're going to whip. Like, they were cocky. So be cocky. Like, be consistent. I mean, we're a couple of weeks removed from him. We're bringing everything we got to San Francisco, brother, and we're going to beat that ass, and I'm going to drop that leg, and we're going to pin him in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. You know, I like Dan Campbell, and I like the emotion, and I like the honesty. But it seems to me to be very inconsistent with the personality that the Lions have kind of put out there all season long.
I know it hurts. It has to hurt. And it has to feel like I think Dan Campbell and the Lions gave it like 110% this entire year. I'll give them that. There was not a week where I thought they were mailing it in. There wasn't a time where I thought they weren't fully committed to their bit and their culture and all that. And when that's gone, that's going to sting. But if you want this train to keep rolling and you think your OC's going, you got to go up there. You could be emotional, but you got to be quick to turn around and say, hey, it was a great year. We are super excited for what we have in the building. We hope that this is just a speed bump to the eventual destination next year. You know, you can coach speak it with some positivity and get people to stay committed in the building. But this is like, you literally just don't have any air in your body left after you got sucker punched, and you're sitting there. Okay, now are we rebuilding completely? What is it? I needed him to give me a little more positive direction instead of, oh my God, the world is crumbling.
You know, Diz, D'Amico Ryans, he came out when we're blessed. I mean, he talked about the refs. I have the clip. But like, I think you can show that emotion. If it was up to me, I'd say, coach, show that emotion when you're back there with the men, you know, when you're back there with that brotherhood that you're a part of. Like, I'm with you. This is, you got to go out and be the alpha in front of all the microphones, and don't show any weakness, because it doesn't do you any good. And we don't live in an era anymore where it's like men need to show their emotions. Men need to feel comfortable. We're past that. We're too emotional at this point. And this is a different way to make a living. This isn't filing TPS reports. You got to be a savage to go out there and play the way these guys do. And Dan Campbell needs to be a savage. And I know Spider Clamp said in the chat, I never saw Madden cry. I know that's kind of an old trope, but it's like, yeah, I never saw Tom Landry cry. I never saw Joe Gibbs cry. And it's like, well, I commend him for being honest and forthright at the microphone, because that can be tough to do in those guys' capacity. I don't think it serves his team very good moving forward. Like you said, they have all these questions. They could lose both coordinators this offseason. Everybody knows they're going to be questioned. Go out there, stick your fucking giant chin across the entire press conference floor and say, we got beat by a better team. We're going to be back next year. We're going to see these guys again. We're going to kick their ass. The same energy you had when you went up to the Minnesota head coach, Kevin O'Connell, and said, I'll see you in a couple weeks. Shit, yeah, you will. In Turks and Caicos, motherfucker.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully we see them next year. Excited for it. We love what we got going on. It's tough. It's like watching Lebowski. He's Lebowski to me. And watching that guy, deep voice, when it doesn't seem to break him, and he's just a total passion guy. When that levee breaks, it's going to resonate. But I don't know. I saw coaches cry. I was like, are you kidding me? And then, but if they went out and talked to the media, they're not going to, you know, staunch. We had a former military guy as our head coach in college. And, he, you know, if he was pissed or emotional after the game, so be it. But whenever he went to talk to our three reporters, he was pretty buttoned up and never really let it show how he was actually feeling, which I appreciated.
And I would too, if that was my leader, because like, if you're a kid and you're crying, it's like, okay, you got to mature. You got to, this is supposed to be the patriarch. This is supposed to be the guy that teaches you how to do it. Yeah. Go out there and put on the brave face. It's true in wartime, and this is simulated war, right? Not the same thing at all, but you know, we take all of our cues from battle for this sport. I think it's why so many people are drawn to it. Well, then let's take that cue as well. Do you think it had something to do? And I was thinking about this. There had to be a lot of ego built up toward tape to tape. They were the best team in the NFC, arguably the best team in football. And they got beat the fuck down in the second half of that game to the extent where they couldn't stop their opponent. And when they tried to get cute, if they just would have kept scoring, I said this on my show today, I think if they had, when Ben Johnson called whatever that fucking, I forgot, which wide receiver was it that threw the pass that got picked off?
Jameson Williams.
Okay. You're scoring at will. Just keep scoring, and maybe your defense dumb lucks itself into a fumble, a strip sack, they bat a ball up in the air, whatever it is. Like, I don't think the Lions are used to just being like, there is nothing we can do to stop these dudes. And remember, the last time they did it, they're going for it on their own 30. Like, they panic and freak out. Maybe that has something to do with his emotion. It's the way they lost.
I think that it has to be tough. I think they overlooked Washington a good amount. I think their eyes were on Philly, because I know what my eyes told me this season. My eyes told me that this Detroit team at times was an absolute world beater. Someone that could score at will, that had lit all every single weapon that they needed, competency at the quarterback position. They overlooked Washington, and that's why I think he's emotional, because he knows that if he had them fully ready, whatever, to meet the moment, if that's his job, my job, Dan Campbell, hey, we got the great coordinators, we got the great players. It's my job to make sure these guys are at least locked in for these 60 minutes and know what's on the line. Then, and that doesn't happen, then here come the big waterworks at the end of the day. Because right, other than that, who are you going to blame? You going to blame the OC, the DC, all the guys that got you there? No, this one, I think he felt more responsibility of, because it fell in his direct department, which is locked in, meet the moment, motivation.
Let's take care of a little business. If you're in the chat right now, hit the like button. It is free. Get us some likes. Also, if you'd like to be a part of the conversation, get up on the screen. Super chats are the way to go. They don't cost much. I think you can send a $2 super chat, help support the show. We do accept super chats. William is saying on Facebook, move back in the area from Tampa. Can I get your live show via podcast anywhere? I drive from Stafford to College Park daily. Need a pod. Yeah, but you got to pay for it, and you ain't going to do that. If you want, it's ChadDukeShow.com. What you could do is come over from Facebook to YouTube, like this page, youtube.com/ChadDukeShow. Lots of free content up here. Then if you decide you like it enough, you want to come get the daily show, I do a show Monday through Thursday, which costs money that you're not going to pay for. You should. It's really good. But the first thing you can do is just come on over to YouTube and like this station. I thought this was really cool, Tor. I'm sure you saw this, but
yeah.
This is C.J. Stroud getting asked about Jaden Daniels and what his rookie season has been like.
Man, that boy Acorn's crazy. Like, I'm so happy for that dude. It's not only just for him, like, the motivation he's given to, like, back home where we come from. Like,
this is right after a loss. I mean, this is right after their season ended in a game where Tor, they outgained their opponent. I think at times they played obviously better than their opponent. And one, he's got lots of teammates out here that are calling these refs out for exactly what happened. But if CJ Stroud is going to be your quarterback for the next 15 years, you got to feel pretty fucking good about yourself just because of the type of person he seems to be.
CJ Stroud would have to take napalm a daycare of puppies and kids for me to not be a supporter of him.
Oh my God.
I am all in on CJ Stroud. Top class, top tier athlete, quarterback that you can definitely build around. Never, even if when he was doing like podcast stuff with Micah and overseas and doing all the trip stuff, he didn't annoy me. I don't know why. No. That is like first thing that should be annoying me is something that would appear like a distraction if I'm putting my heart out. No, he for some reason skates by, and I'll say, yeah, he's going to continue to skate for me because he's just so, you could just root for him completely.
Yeah. This is just interesting to hear him talking about, because he was Jaden Daniels last year. You know, he was the rookie quarterback. Oh my God, we've never seen anything like this. He's already in the playoffs, so he can give this better context than most.
Dude, you have no idea. Like, to see, I and I'm not saying, no, it's just me or just him. It's like for us both together to be putting on for IE as quarterbacks in the NFL, like the first two kind of really to do it that I can think of, like, man, it's big time, man. You know, it's giving kids back home hope that they can do it too. And, you know, and the main,
everything's positive. There's nothing victim-alike about anything that he says. Everything's about his religion and about his team and about being a positive impact in his community by excelling at what he's doing. And I don't think he's bullshitting for a moment here, Tor, and trying to like virtue signal that he's happy for Jaden Daniels. I mean, he genuinely seems like he's thrilled with the Jaden has basically surpassed him as far as a rookie season performance.
This brings me back to the Caleb Williams conversation very early in the season, and that makes me even more Team Stroud, because it continues. If he continues to present himself as a genuine person, those moments where people are divided on him will eventually go his way in the long run. So I think just everything he continues to do seems to be the right decision, the right move.
Yeah, and it's good to see, man. It's also good to see where I don't fault Caleb Williams for his bad posture or his body language or the fact that he's a weirdo, but as much as I don't fault him for that, that's just kind of the way that he is. It's incredibly refreshing to point and say, take a look. I mean, it's possible to go out there and act like a 15-year vet when you've been in the league 2 years.
The thing too is, like, everybody from home knows we ain't perfect. Like, you know, like, we probably ain't even the best athletes to come out where we come from, but you know, you stay at it and you stay down for the come up, like, man, you can really do this at the highest level. And so, man, I'm super high to him. Like, man, he's had the best rookie year of all time. And, you know, that's what records are meant. They're meant to break. And he's broken, you know, a lot of things. I would say as a person, you know, like, he ain't had it easy, you know, like, just his background, losing his grandparents. And, you know, in the city he's from, San Bernardino is not an easy place to be brought up in, you know. So for him to beat the odds, man, to do what he's doing, man, I'm so happy and proud I do. We talk, you know, a lot, and, you know, I'm just very, 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 very happy for him and very proud of him. And, you know, I don't root for many other teams, but I'm rooting for my boy. I'm rooting for the Commanders. So.
That's pretty great, man. It's good stuff right there.
When's the last time anybody's ever said that?
Ever.
Yeah.
Well, I guess who is the dude? Who's homeboy from, was it Malik Nabers that was rooting on Washington at the fucking, oh no, I guess we're okay because it's the AFC as opposed to the NFC in the same division. John Rage, thank you so much for the 10 Chad Duke Show gifted memberships. Make sure you have accept gifted memberships turned on. Click the link at the top of the chat or in the description. Toggle that bad boy on. John Rage, incredibly generous. Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate you being here today and always for the support. Thank you very much. All right, so Ryan's gonna join us in a couple of few. We can talk about Buffalo beating the Ravens. I tweeted this out, got some run for it. Some people got pissed off because I guess they think I can't watch football and still comment on the local team. But I've been watching longer than you, my whole life, 45 years. This is my 46th year watching football. I've never fucking come close to seeing a rookie quarterback doing what Jaden Daniels does. And I'm going to take it a step further. I don't know that I've seen a pro quarterback do what Jaden Daniels does. And we've talked about this. It's not just his awareness when guys are breathing down his neck, when he's on the run in the open field, he's able to contort his body in ways that I haven't seen Lamar Jackson, Mike Vick, any of these other amazing mobile quarterbacks do. His patience, his ability to find the open receivers. He can find Zach Ertz is 100 years old. He finds him the way that Pat Mahomes finds Travis Kelce, who, no disrespect to Zach Ertz is probably 100 times a tight end at this point than Zach Ertz is. He's doing more with less. He's doing it immediately. The game is completely slowed down for him, and now he's doing it in the postseason. He's not going to play in a more hostile environment tour the remainder of the tournament than he did on Sunday. And it looked like it was the easiest thing in the world, and he was the best player out on the field. It isn't just the best rookie season that we've ever seen. I think this is one of the greatest quarterbacking seasons that we've ever seen from anybody.
It's truly incredible, and I guess the stars aligned, because my basic analysis can't explain the phenomena at this point. It is, I think he is also changing how I look at what I want as a quarterback coming out into the draft. It is, I don't want a 21-year-old quarterback. I don't want a 20-year-old, 22-year-old, super young guy so we can get the most out of him project. I want Jaden Daniels drafted at 23 years old, 24 right now. I like that. A little more mature. These pro athletes, I think his frontal cortex has developed a little more. Like I'm having to start thinking about this. Rookie quarterback, how many vets can I get on a vet minimum in my building to help mature him and show him the ropes? How many Bobby Wagners can I get? An Austin Eckler, a Zach Ertz, Jamison Crowder, why not? Dudes that have been around the league, that have a process, have a routine, that can show the young guy exactly what he needs to do. That has to attribute to it also.
Yeah.
Because we see it all the time. We want a young core, young group, young this. I don't know if that's the, if that's what works. It's great. You have the speed. You might have a little more, a couple more inches of jumping ability. But when you have to really buckle down, who are you going to look to, the 22-year-old outside linebacker? Or would you rather look at 35-year-old middle linebacker that's seen it all? And I think that translates to the quarterback position also. I think that they have absolutely aligned every star to make it work for him. And he has that same Joe Burrow gene where nothing phases him. And it's the exact type of mental state I want a quarterback to be continuously in. Just still, just being water. It's insane.
I would agree, but Joe Burrow is an asshole, and Jaden Daniels
isn't. That's true.
Isn't, yeah, that's... You know, and I, not that that matters. Like, sometimes it's better if you have the heel on your team. But Tori, he's so goddamn positive, and he's quiet, and he's likable. And when he loses, he handles it really well. When he wins, he handles it even better. He's always, you know, it's everything about. It's just like. He's like, he's a cartoon kid. Like, if someone wrote a movie about Jaden Daniels' season, you'd be like, nah, man, like, this is too good. Like, you're not going to, no one's going to buy this character. Like, you need to put some mud on him. And that's why it's so wild to see. And that's why I forgot who I had on the show where I was talking to them about the fact that I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury is an amazing offensive coordinator. I think he's good. I don't know if Dan Quinn is a superstar Dan Campbell 2.0. I think Jaden is so goddamn good and so unique that it's going to be difficult to assess how good everybody else is because he raises the tides. And I also think I hear what you're saying. I don't know that you can replicate it. Like, I don't know. It's like, well, we'll go out in the sixth round. We'll find our own Tom Brady. No, you ain't. You're not going to be able to go out. There isn't a Jaden Daniels in this draft. There wasn't in the year before or the year before that. Like, I don't want to get too swept away with myself, but I just remember watching Griffin and knowing this guy's going to get fucked up, and he was doing all that weird shit with his dad. And I hate to keep comparing it, but locally it's what you can do. I don't know. The longer he continues to go on this run, the more I feel like they've found the unicorn that the Chiefs found, but there's no... You know, there's no coach here that you would say, well, of course, he's got the pedigree to develop these guys. Like, this feels completely unique to me.
I'm not sure how you rattle him either. I'm not trying to go and start looking on the Philly already, but it's got to be something like Philly's defense would have to get hands on him all game. I think that's the only possible way. The only way you ever beat Brady in a Super Bowl is if you got to him. And that's what the Giants did in two Super Bowls. Every other Super Bowl, Brady just sitting back there, pretty untouched, going to start carving you up. And whatever, I don't know if you're going to mentally rattle him if you pick him off. I think you have to start really making him uncomfortable in the pocket, and then somehow stop him from getting just 1 yard past exactly where he needs to get. It never feels like he's just breaking it way past the sticks. It's just such an insane awareness. And to do it twice on the road in the playoffs, insanity. And I know he played at LSU and big loud stadiums. These were frothing Detroit fans. Tampa wanted to see that win also. 2-0 on the road is insane for a rookie quarterback.
Winning on the road in the postseason is the hardest thing that you have to do in the league. And they're doing it on a weekly basis now.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I mean, that's...
Why would you have any fear of Philadelphia at all? First of all, you just beat them. You knock their – everyone wants to say, well, if Jalen would have been in there. Is anybody really impressed with the way Jalen Hurts is playing right now? I'm certainly not. And they went out there and knocked him out of the fucking game, got the backup in and won. That's defense would have won. Get their best player out, and we'll go out there and take care of the rest.
Philly is going to try to do the worst – we're underdogs and we're also hard-o. Look at our big mean interior defensive lineman, Jalen Carter bit. Look at Zach Bond, Saquon Barkley, very good. But they're going to try to do a whole bunch of bad bits, and they're terrified. They would have loved to have seen the Lions. Are you because nobody's hotter. No, there's not a hotter team in the NFL than Washington right now, playing with more momentum, and their quarterback looks like it's week three in his demeanor. It's all coming together. I couldn't believe what I was watching on Saturday night.
You can't have a player play better than Jahmyr Gibbs was playing in that game, right? Like, I don't know that I've ever seen it right through the air, on the ground. Nobody could touch him, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter because they couldn't get close. They couldn't get to within striking distance of the Commanders because they had. And look, man, I know they have injuries and teams get injuries. These are pros lining up against other pros. It's like shit happens in football. The ball bounces weird way. And they didn't. They went out there and the Commanders executed flawlessly on offense. And what did I say? I said it last week. If the Commanders are going to win, they're going to have to go 40 plus. And what did they do? You hang 45 points on the home team in the divisional round. Here's your ticket. It's been punched. We'll see you in the championship round. There's no chance. They didn't even give the Lions a chance to go out there and contend with them with the way they were executing offensively.
The Lions didn't even get a sack. All I've ever seen.
He never gets sacked. I mean, he has so many statistical fucking anomalies so far this season. That's one of them.
I'm getting like half crushed right now because I wore my Chris Cooley jersey out Saturday night, and it got huge pops. I mean, every 10 minutes, Cooley's the man. I'm like, fuck yeah, he's the man. Cooley rules. But you know, why are you supporting Washington? I thought you're a big Falcons fan. I am, but I've watched the Skins my entire life. All I've seen is bad quarterbacks standing in the pocket and getting murdered. Murdered in the worst moments. All game, he's barely touched. No sacks. Offense flying. I'm happy for him. I couldn't be happier for the hometown. Who cares? Team.
Get swept up. I'm not even swept up. Like, this is the same thing I used to do when I was a fan, and I'd shit on him and I would take crap for that. It's like, no, you got to call it out for what it is. And we haven't seen a season like this. Now, the durability thing, it is very difficult for me to get away from that. I think that's going to continue to be a question mark as far as. His build makes me feel that toward the amount of contact. But I remember John Harbaugh when they drafted Lamar Jackson. He did some sort of interview and he goes, Lamar Jackson isn't going to come in and run my offense. I'm building my offense around Lamar Jackson. And I remember saying, that's stupid. He's going to get hurt. That's too much running. He should come in and learn your offense. That's why he's a quarterback. And now I'm like, fuck it. How many years are we in with Lamar Jackson and they steady punch their ticket to the fucking divisional round every year? Now, I don't know what happens to them when they get there, but you know, the first part is the relevancy. Build your offense around him and let the chips roll where they may. And if chips fall where they may, roll where they may. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Players get hurt, but I'm less worried about that than I was at the beginning of the season.
It's just a total shell shock moment where at this point, every year I'm thinking, well, what are they going to do? Who are they going to go after and add? What's going to take this team to at least the wild card round? And now I'm typecasting, who are they getting? Right. Who's going to come to Washington? Who wants to come and play and block for this guy? Who wants to come and get sacks on this defense? I mean, shit, somehow they turned Dante Fowler Jr. into a double-digit sack defensive player at this stage in his career. There's like miracles happening for this team that I just can't fathom. And if you're a Washington fan, just enjoy the ride. I know you probably feel like your stomach is tied up in a thousand knots, but goodness, I mean, this is just as fun as this Monday has to be as fun as it could be for the diehards.
They were 3 for 4 on fourth down. I would have sworn that it was more. And there's another thing that I wish there was a way toward to get these next level statistics on is like, how do you qualify how demoralizing it is for the defense to hold them for third down? I mean, we're programmed to think third down off the field, bitch, punt. Like, it ain't going to happen that way. And I don't like it. Like, it goes against everything I learned about football, that Dan Quinn does this, that Dan Campbell does. It makes me sick to my fucking stomach. Like, take the goddamn points. But Jaden is the equalizer. He's the guy that's going to go out there and get that fourth down for you. And you know, when you run the football well, it's not just, okay, we picked up 4 yards. That guy's getting winded. That guy took a knee to the elbow. Like, there's other things happening. You're wearing the defense down. When you continually go for it on fourth down and pick it up, that has to be incredibly demoralizing to the other team's defense. And I guarantee that took a toll on Detroit. You could watch it happen. It took a toll on Tampa Bay. And that's benefiting everybody on the team.
It took a toll on Detroit because that's what Detroit does. That's what they do. They know that if we convert on fourth down, that's an absolute gut punch, because not only are the players on the field thinking, okay, my job's done for a little bit, and good work. Oh, now I have to stay on the field. Oh shit. You know, I'm in trouble now. You're backpedaling. You put the defense in a very disadvantageous position mentally. You get one on fourth down. And then offensively, I mean, they've done it multiple times this year. It's been fourth down, goal, red zone. I'm like, oh, please just kick the field goal. I don't care who the kicker is. Just kick the field goal. Score a touchdown on fourth down. What? I mean, that is just an absolute momentum shifter, and they're playing with it. They're absolutely doing what the Lions do, which is commanding the game, changing the tempo of the game. If we can't do it at 4 yards at a cloud of dust or through an air raid, then we are going to find a way to suck the momentum out of your building. And it's going forward on fourth down, depleting your mental toughness. And I think that really is what it does.
Could be. Before Ryan joins us, Tor, I wanted to address this. And again, I don't want to sound like some hardo here. I don't want to be some Skip Bayless that gets on here and shits on Dan Campbell for crying and gets on and fucking pisses all over Mark Andrews for, you know, what happened to him. But I saw this. I don't know who John Solomon is. I'm sure I should. As Mark Andrews becomes a meme and gets mocked for the worst day of his football life, let's remember that he helped save a woman's life. Perspective is hard after a brutal loss, but there's more to life than football. Get fucked. It's the day after his mistakes. I know it's the culmination of multiple plays. His teammates came out. Lamar came out, defended him with passion, with vulgarity. He had his own interceptions. He had his own turnovers. You're going to get roasted. You're going to get cooked the day after you drop the tying 2-point conversion as it was. And I already hear like the revisionist history. Why didn't they just hand it off to Derrick Henry? Why didn't they? He had the ball. His job is to catch passes. He had the ball in his hands, and it could have atoned for his earlier turnover that put them in that spot anyway. I'm not saying dox the guy, attack his family, whatever. But Ravens fans and people that cover the sport absolutely are well within their rights to cook this motherfucker, because that's what comes on the other side of the fame and the commercials and the endorsements and all of the fun stuff as well. He saved the woman's life. What does that have to do with anything other than the emotional pornography that we just peddle pervasively in this country? Now, if 2 weeks from now, people are still sending flaming bags of dog shit to his front door, they're assholes. They deserve to be mocked and humiliated as well. But everybody is within their rights to criticize that performance, especially when you can directly attribute it to them not having a chance to move on to the AFC Championship game.
It's not the time, John Solomon. You have to let it. People are going to be upset. It is a massive, massive play. And everybody that is saying, everyone would say, yeah, I feel awful for him. Everyone would.
I feel bad. Angry. Who doesn't?
The flip side of that anger coin that you're seeing, you could just ask anybody. They say, yeah, I feel awful for him. So there is a little bit of common sense and rationality when people are expressing this. But also, it just happened. You're right. If this was down the line and people are taking it too far, okay, they're taking it too far. That's what sports fans, they do. They get carried away. They do awful bits. But right now, the rational reaction is he blew it. And it sucks that he blew it. And you could feel bad that he blew it. But most people are going to understand that. And also understand that he probably feels bad about it. So let them vent. Let them vent about the big football player costing them the AFC Championship game.
He saved a woman's life. Right. Well, you know, a lot of these guys do a lot of things. And that's great. And that's a tribute to. But you get all the money to make the plays like this. The reason why you get all of these benefits is because the rest of us can't do it. I could go out there and bobble a fucking pass on the goal line and kick it off my knee. I mean, that's the. You don't need to white knight for anyone the day after. If you want a white knight for somebody, do it in the weeks to months to come if he is continuing to get harassed by these monsters. Here, Tor, vamp for me for a second. I got to send the invite. Apparently, I did not send the invite to fucking O'Halloran, so he's
Yeah. Also, we wouldn't know. You just proved the point. If you wouldn't even recognize Mark Andrews as somebody that saved a woman's life had he not had the skill to be able to catch balls in the first place.
Yeah, we wouldn't know who he was.
there's. Go ahead. Go to your fire station and ask somebody whose life they just saved and put a tweet out about them then. If that's the message you want to start spreading about positivity. But the only reason you know that he saved a life is because before he did that, he was catching footballs. And yeah. And that is the direct correlation of why you feel like you need to stand up for him. But now he dropped the football and you're in the shit.
What's your schedule like today? Do you got time after Ryan's off or do you have to beat Cheeks?
Oh, I got some time.
All right, I just don't know if we'll get to. I want to spend some time on what Zesty Pat did during that game. I was seething on the sideline watching my TV when he slowed down and pushed his butt out and then got hit and then flopped. I'm like, you motherfucker! Mm-mm. I just don't even know. And the leg is. I forgot who said it. I don't think it was Aikman. And good for Aikman for cooking that motherfucker. But
Aikman's been great.
He's been awesome. And I don't know who said it, but it might have been Portnoy. Something about your legacy is secured. Don't taint it with horse shit like this. And I felt the same. Like, you are turning off so many football fans. You have been gimmicking the system for years at this point, and we all just kind of have to put up with it. Just like we have to put up with the basketball player and the pop singer being in every fucking third shot. It comes along, this horrible baggage that comes along with the burden of being a football fan that can't turn off the TV. Don't sit there and rub it in our face. Don't you start flopping like these soccer players and these basketball players. You get 30 million people watching your game because you don't do that shit.
It's disgusting, and I actually don't even – I think – it's the big man in the Hawaiian shirt eating the cheeseburger that is to blame. I think he is a rules studier and expert, and he knows that he can get an extra 15 if he tells his quarterback, hey, throw that thing out there. I think Reed knows the playbook better than everybody and knows that he can get chunk yards. It has to be from the top.
Then you say, coach, I'm the greatest quarterback to ever play. I'm not doing it. I'm not going out there and flopping. If we can't win by playing football, then we can't win. Have some fucking balls. What's up, Ryan? How are you? You there? Oh, his fucking microphone doesn't work. If I fucking have Ryan on one time without any goddamn malfunctioning equipment, it'll be a miracle. All right, unplug the thing and plug it back in. And then make sure you haven't hit the mute button. I'll give him a chance to comport himself. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I'd say so. Calibration, maybe.
Throws me nuts. This is something Ryan put out, which I thought was interesting. Not that Ryan puts out. I wouldn't dare to come in here and say that. But the Ravens, fourth team in playoff history to have no punts but lose. 1983 Cardinals, 2004 Chiefs, and the 2018 Patriots. That is wild and all outside.
Yeah, They played a fine game. That first half was awful. That first half, I thought, lost Lamar the MVP conversation because that was
It's really a regular season. He's going to win it anyway. It's a regular season award. He was voted first team AP. Those are the guys that get it, right?
That's tough. I thought Allen outperformed him, and Allen didn't even have that stellar game.
All right, let's go through the Super Chats. Wow. Holy shit.
I already know how it is playing up here. You can never leave it into the ref's hands, but I mean, the whole world see, man, like what it is, bro. But
the whole world does see what it is. That's the problem, is that everyone, you're the media now. Elon Musk told us we all have phones, we all have cameras. It's not just that we can see the horse shit coming from the zebras. Now it turns into a narrative. Now it trends, and then Rich Eisen has to talk about it. And if you can get it to Rich Eisen, you can get it to Dan Patrick, you can get it to Whitlock or whoever the hell it is you go to for sporting endeavors. If you can get it to those guys, and credit Troy Aikman, as Tor was saying, for being able to fucking make it happen. For being able to actually go out there and say, this is ridiculous. This is Joe Mixon, by the way.
Everybody know how it is playing up here. You can never leave it into the ref's hands. But I mean, the whole world see, man, like
these guys must feel so emboldened because they know the fine is coming. Sure as God's vengeance. There's going to be an envelope in that locker. Come Monday, it'll be all right. I mean, I don't know how much it's going to be for Joe Mixon. But they must be emboldened and enabled, because we don't usually hear this. Certainly not from a cacophony. Certainly not from a cacophony of players.
What it is, bro, but it is what it is. You know, like I said, when it come down to it, you can never leave it into the ref's hands, man, and things like that. But it's all good, though.
It's not all good. I promise you, it's not all good. It's not all good for you. It's not all good for the sport. It's not all good for anybody. And the Chiefs may not know it, and Pat Mahomes may not hold it, know it, and Tor's correct. Andy Reid may not know it. Okay. But it doesn't. Oh, are you still doing the bit?
Thanks.
I was in mid-rant. How's it going?
We're going to give it another crack. It, from my troubleshooting experience, he's doing a, you know, he should have all the right stuff, but it might be he switched over his settings late and it couldn't pick up. So we're given the first standard protocol here.
Sometimes you need to just turn the fucking thing off and turn it back on. That works too.
Yeah.
That was Mixon. This is Will Anderson with much of the same.
This organization, this team, you know, all year, man, he has blessed us and favored us tremendously, man. And I just got to give all glory to him, man. We knew it was going to be us against the refs going into this game. And, you know, I talked to you guys early this week. And I was just feeling like, man, like, we got to go out there and we got to do us better. And, you know, in some instances we didn't do that, in some instances we did. So we just got to keep going, man. Next offseason, you know, get the guys together, man. And, you know, everybody just coming together and just keep building that team chemistry and get past this hump.
Atrocious calls, Tor, and the perfect storm where you have referees that are completely enabled and on camera way too much. You have a power structure where you can't even criticize them when something like this happens. And then for some reason, the penalties they are calling that specifically help guys like Pat Mahomes dance along the sidelines, they are not able to be reviewed. So the NFL is reaping what they sow this week with all the criticism. All right, let's give him another shot. Hopefully our buddy Ryan is with us now. Ryan, you there, bud? It's a no-go. Oh, man. I'm sorry, buddy. I don't know what to do.
No.
There it is.
Yeah. Whoa.
What did you just do, you clown?
Still good?
I guarantee you hit that little mute button on the side.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Oh, hearing you good, Ryan. Yes.
Okay.
Don't touch nothing. All right, let's start with that before we get to the Bills, because to me, this is the biggest story. Like, we're going to have a new Super Bowl champion, but that's not the soul of the game. That's not the heart of the game. And Pat Mahomes flopping after he's tiptoeing along the sideline all season long and benefiting from it. Kudos to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for calling it out. Kudos to these brave players that know they're going to get a check. This is not spoiled milk. This is not blaming the officials. This is what's going on when the Chiefs play football. And I think the NFL has really got to get out there and do what they can to nip this in the butt, because the only people that can kill the NFL's popularity are themselves with bullshit like this.
Well, I think what could happen during the offseason, and usually it takes a while to push things through like that, is they're doing that rapid review, you know, on first down spots, on catches or fumbles. I mean, this would take it a lot of steps forward for New York to call the ref and say, no, that wasn't roughing the quarterback. But owners listen to commentators. So when a guy like Troy Aikman in a playoff game is saying, come on, he didn't hit him, I think that could carry some weight. But, you know, it was a perfect storm in terms of, for the league office, is there's a couple of them in the same game and they were costly.
Really costly. This is the head coach of the Houston Texans speaking.
Hey, man, it was us versus everybody, right? When I say everybody, is everybody, all of whatever, everybody, the naysayers, the doubt, right? Everybody.
He knows it's not just the naysayers and the doubt. D'Amico Ryans is a guy that's universally respected. And I don't know, Ryan, perhaps you've been covering this game a long time. Have you ever heard this many players and the coach come out and speak demonstratively about this stuff after a game this way?
No, this is pretty rare, but I applaud D'Amico Ryans for doing it, because if I'm a player, I want my head coach standing up for me in public. And let's face it, if the league deems those missed calls, which they should, he shouldn't get fined. But, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, make a $50,000 donation for sticking up for your locker room. And, you know, players are more apt than coaches, I think, to do it. But obviously this was a topic that Houston talked about behind the scenes all week, judging by their talking points they had ready.
Tor, I'm not so concerned with the the fines. I'm more concerned with the fact that Pat Mahomes knows 30 million people are watching that game and there's 75,000 people in the stands, and he blatantly pulled up, tried to get hit, and then tried to draw a flag, which again is going to cause people to question everything about officiating now.
It's very frustrating because real football fans know that the rules kind of change in the playoffs. Like the ticky-tacky PI calls they're going to be more subdued. Like we're not going to call those. We're going to let them play a little more in January, and that's playoff football. We're going to hit. We're going to get violent. Quarterbacks are going to get hit. Everyone's going to get hit in football. Regular season, trying to keep the stars in the game, trying to keep the season moving along. I understand that. The playoffs, though, they change it up. It's more physical. And seeing Patrick Mahomes, the face of the league, just trying to draw a faux penalty, dancing around behind an offensive lineman in the middle of the field, waiting to die, sit down late. Hopefully a linebacker comes and hits him on the shoulder pad. Looks like it's targeting. He gets ejected. Like it's almost chess the way that he does it, where he's trying to set everything up and he knows exactly what these refs are looking for. He wants the head flying back. He wants arms in the air when he gets touched. And it's really not a good display for the type of football that we are due at the end of the season in the playoffs.
And everybody's a reporter now. And then when Jared Goff gets absolutely blown the F up when the Commanders are returning that interception, what happens? It's 10 million people tweeting the same thing. How come this is a penalty and this is not? That happened probably three or four more times throughout the course of the afternoon because of the treatment that Mahomes was getting in that game against Houston.
One last thing on the Mahomes on the Mahomes late hit. It took ESPN a while to dig up the angle from the opposite field.
That was like, by design.
I mean, I'm always good for a conspiracy theory, but on the Goff thing, it looked like the first guy got him off balance, and then old Frankie just took a shot. And I don't think Goff was the same the rest of the game.
No, he wasn't. And that's why you weren't here for we were talking about it, Ryan, but when the Commanders beat the Eagles at the end of the season, people were talking about the backup going in where they weren't resting him. They went out there and they hit Hurts and they knocked him out of the game. And if you can do that, if you can rattle your other teams, I think you're right. I think everybody that watched Jared Goff, he felt like he was a little bit off. And if he's going to be a little bit off, maybe that leads to another interception, which it did, is some bad decision-making, or maybe they let the wide receiver throw a pass for some reason when they're going up and down the field. So, yeah, go out there and beat up the other team's quarterback, and you give yourself a better chance to win. I think we all are aware of that.
You would just hope that it's a singular standard that everyone's being held to. And when you start seeing the double standard, that's when all these fans who love to be victims, because there's nothing more fun than being a fan, and thinking that you just got screwed and you can just unleash hellfire on whoever perpetuated it. And now it feels like, oh, it's the league. It's Mahomes. They want the three-peat. They want Taylor Swift. They want everything going on. They want Travis Kelce crying and proposing after the Super Bowl win. They're dying for it. I'm with you. I wish it wasn't true, but the Chiefs' dramatic win over Philly, and it's just got to happen at this point.
They should put more annoying ladies in the box for the Chiefs game. That would really make me happy. All right, Ryan, well, let's get to it. The Bills hold steady at home 27-25 over the Ravens. Ravens without Zay Flowers, but if I was going to come out and say Josh Allen's going to throw for under 130 yards, he's not going to score a touchdown through the air. James Cook's going to have under 70 yards rushing. Dalton Kincaid's going to have one catch. Mac Hollins going to have one. They lost that game. And they didn't. And it really did seem like, and Josh Allen spoke to this point, that win over a very good Ravens team with more talent on offense than the Bills have, in my opinion, it really kind of exemplified this whole season and what was expected and where they are and the exodus of all those skill position players and the fact that now they find themselves in the AFC championship game with another whack at the Chiefs. Did this win kind of embody everything the Bills put together this season?
Yeah, I think so. And it's all season long, it's been a team that whose sum is greater than its individual parts. And you know, look at the Ravens with their 9 Pro Bowlers, 3 first team all pros. The Bills had 2 Pro Bowlers, no first team all pros. So, under heralded guys, but you know, they rushed for 147 against the league's best run defense. And then they go plus three on turnovers. That's what they feasted on the entire year. Through 19 games, they're plus 26 in turnovers. That means you don't give it up and you take it away a lot. So, I mean, this was a win over a team. Let's face it, Lamar was terrible. He had two really bad turnovers, and then Andrews had his exploits. But you got to take advantage of those mistakes, and the Bills did.
Ryan, is there any like loom over the because for me, I'm watching the Bills and I thought their window was closed. It stayed open. They have dominant wins in the postseason. They have dominant wins regular season. Josh Allen playing the best football he ever has in his career, and going up against the Chiefs, you think, wow, they might actually have the team that is better than the Chiefs team as a whole this year. But I can't exactly pinpoint where that slight doubt comes, and if that's a Josh Allen turnover thing, if that's a defense sudden disappearance thing, where do you think that this the Bills weirdness factor is coming from this year?
Well, you know, we had an example in the Denver game. Denver ran a fake punt. You know, it's always something. Last night it was Baltimore makes it look easy driving 88 yards. Then they go for two, don't get it, and that's the ball game. So you're always, even when they're up 21-10 at halftime, in the front of my mind, even though I've been here 2 years, is, okay, what's going to go wrong? And you imagine if you're a fan sitting in the stands, it's been 30 years since they've been to a Super Bowl. So I think it's more of an overall Bill thing than a Josh Allen thing, because he played turnover-free last year's playoffs. But I think last night, and this sounds maybe a little Pollyannish, but last night's breakthrough win, I think they're playing with a little bit of house money themselves in Kansas City. This was supposed to be a retooled transition year for the Bills, reset their cap, but now you won your division, you won two playoff games, and I like the matchup for them against the Chiefs.
The turnovers, did I read correctly? They only had 8 turnovers all year. I don't know how that could be possible.
All by Josh Allen, like 6 picks, and they've only lost 2 fumbles.
I mean, can we even, how could, because the Ravens lost because of their turnovers. You could argue the Lions lost because of their turnovers. Go down the list of the teams that did. If you're not turning the ball over at all consistently, I mean, I can't even imagine. And then you know that you take care of the football. There's the mental effect as well. I can't imagine how beneficial that would be for an offense.
I mean, they've outscored opponents this year off the top of my head, something like 137 to 27 in points off turnovers. That's how you win.
Ridiculous. Yeah. All right. Why should we believe that with no disrespect, less talented players on offense, this is going to go any way other than the way it goes? And it's an impressive win in the regular season, but excuse my French, it means fuck all right now. Why should we believe that this Bills team, even if they are, as you say, Ryan, playing with house money, are capable of going into Arrowhead against the refs and against Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid and having a different result?
I'll give you two reasons. One is in the first meeting, yes, it may not mean much, they were able to hit Mahomes a lot.
Okay.
And to me, if you can get them at second and long, you know, Mahomes isn't a scrambler at this point of his career. He's a slider rounder and buy time that way outside the pocket. So that's the first one. The second one is Josh Allen. I mean, he's got it. He sees that brass ring. You know, I thought the offense last night was but I think they're going to rebound, and I think Allen's going to have a huge game.
Ryan, I'll be positive with the hypothetical. Say Bills win. Who do you worry about more between Washington and Philly in that NFC matchup for the Bills if they had to play?
It's got to be Washington at this point, right?
Yeah,
doesn't it have to be?
That'd probably be my answer as well, because Sean McDermott's had a lot of success against rookie quarterbacks, just like Vic Fangio has. So that'll be put to the test this weekend. Washington, you know, because if you feel like if you're Philadelphia, they're sort of like on a razor thin line. If they can manage to escape Washington, you get 2 weeks to get everybody healthy again. So my guess, if it was Bills Washington, the Bills would be favored maybe by 5.5, 6.
I will not question Washington again the rest of these playoffs. I don't. Everyone should be terrified of them. Everybody, both of those AFC teams should be the biggest Eagles fans on earth. Go out there and play hobbled ass Jalen Hurts. This was a crazy stat. I heard this today. The Ravens were undefeated in games where Rashad Bateman catches a touchdown this season, undefeated. Well, guess who caught the touchdown that very first drive when they just marched right down the field and stuck it in the back of the end zone? Like, that was wild. And then another thing that just perplexes me as a football fan, Ryan, they ran the football. It's not like they didn't go out there and try to establish Derrick Henry. Justice Hill ran the football pretty well, too. He averaged over 8 yards a carry. But when it came down to nut-cutting time, they're going in the air. They're throwing it to Andrews, who has been up and down all year long. He's bobbling the football. There's something about the Ravens where I think they want to be something that they're not, and they should be lining up in the wishbone and smack. Like, this is the way we're going to win or lose this football game, is with our best players, and that's Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry running the football. I can't believe they did it 2 years in a row.
You know, no design keepers last night for Lamar Jackson, and then 16 carries for Derrick Henry. And it felt like a half of those were on that drive in the third quarter where they just grinded their way down the field. I thought both quarterbacks, it's almost like both quarterbacks were being saved for next week. Because you saw Allen carry 10 times, but one thing that the Ravens have to be kicking themselves about besides the turnovers is passing on both 2-point conversions, especially the second one. It was a rollout. There was a lot of traffic. I would have just, if I was a Ravens fan, I'd rather have Lamar just drop back and see what was available over the whole field.
You don't want to see their windows closed, but Derrick Henry's going to be, what, 32 next year? And if you can't win it with that guy in the season he just had in the backfield, I have no reason to believe that the Raiders are in the same class as Kansas City. Or even, you know, Joe Burrow is going to be back next year. And that Joe Burrow for the back half of that season is one of those terrifying players that I've seen, especially if they retain Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know. I don't know what to think about the Ravens. I feel like they're a divisional round team, and that's probably the best they're going to do.
I mean, what's Lamar right now? 3-5 in the playoffs. So he'll probably have one MVP for every playoff win.
Yeah.
Making it to the AFC title game only once so far during this era has got to be a disappointment. I mean, they always have to like retool the bottom of the roster because of the cap. But as long as Lamar's healthy, you would think the window's open. But I mean, that last night was a bad loss.
What do you think of what the Tor and I talked about earlier? What do you think of what the Commanders have been able to do? I mean, going on the road twice with a rookie quarterback, nobody could have predicted this.
Yeah, I mean, like Joe Flacco and Mark Sanchez, the only two guys to do that as a rookie, win two road games to start. Well, a week ago, Chad, I can no longer say I covered the last Redskins playoff win. So there was like five or six of us texting each other. It was January of 2006. But I am so impressed by Daniels. You'd think he would get the bleep kicked out of him, but he's smart about where he runs. He can survey the field. And it just goes to show you, I think, if you play a lot of college football, that's going to prepare you more than if you're just drafting somebody, Anthony Richardson, he runs fast.
That's what you were saying, Tor. I mean, that's the exact point you were making.
I think we're seeing it also. Like Bo Nix has like set NCAA records, and he was – by far one of the least trait strong guys in the last draft. And then
most experienced, though, you're right.
And most experienced goes to Denver, who was a DOA organization with an annoying head coach. And then they end up having a pretty good season. I think that might be the new strategy. I hope it is.
And Cam Ward could be that answer this year. He played at three colleges, 6-year guy, but this is not the year I want a quarterback in the top five.
Oh, you don't want to take Cam Ward one overall after you completely whiffed on Will Levis and Malik Willis, and you don't think that's a match made in heaven with their new GM out there and Brian Callahan? Let's fire the GM, keep the coach, and then Jacksonville's firing the coach and keeping the GM. What an awful, terrible division the South is.
Correct.
Yeah, piss ants. last one, Ben Johnson. Going to the Bears, we know that now. I think that was the second best gig. I still think the Patriots with May and the fourth pick and all that cap space, especially for Vrabel homecoming, that was the best. But kudos to Ben Johnson for moving quickly. I don't care how much the Raiders offered. I'm not going there. Do you like his chances to turn Caleb Williams around?
I do. I thought if had Jacksonville fired their general manager, I thought Jacksonville would have been the spot for Johnson because of that division you just talked about, which is just constantly spinning its wheels. But people are going to say, well, why is Ben Johnson staying in the NFC North? Well, he knows what Jared Goff is about. he knows what this Detroit situation's about. I think they're going to take a step back. Minnesota may go with McCarthy. They're going to take a step back. So he probably feels like the Bears can jump into contention with some competent coaching.
And he knows, he knows what Jared Goff's going to look like without his services. I bet the Lions take a step back. And you guys don't have questions about Green Bay now and the way they entered the season? I certainly do.
They were limping. I did not like that when we're gearing up for the playoffs, they looked like they were big. You should be big bad. We play in the cold Green Bay. And then they look cold and they look slow and they look soft against Philly. That should not be how they're presenting themselves or how they're playing, no matter how dinged up they were.
And you go back several coaches in Green Bay, they've never taken special teams seriously during that program, and it's ended up costing them game after game. I mean, this was a disappointing season for the Packers. They made the divisional round last year, should have beaten San Francisco. Now you are the seventh seed again. I would have some questions about the Packers.
Has any team benefited more from a free agent running back signing than the Philadelphia Eagles signing Saquon Barkley in recent memory?
I would say no, but it's contingent on their head coach not ripping the ball out of his hands with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. To let Jalen Hurts scramble and lose 8 yards. But his impact this year, it should be one that we remember for a while. Like, this shouldn't be, okay, that was a fun year. If Philly actually can stay on this path, it could be like an actual culture change, team change. This was one of the best moves we've ever made.
I mean, this is probably one of the best free agent signings in league history. I mean, this is Reggie White going Philadelphia to Green Bay as the final piece to that puzzle. And they won a Super Bowl and made it to another one.
Yeah. Priest Holmes went from Baltimore to Kansas City. I'm trying to think recently, but I don't think they went to... He just played at an MVP caliber level when you don't see that out of running backs all that often anymore. And I mean, him and Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon, you could say regalvanized the running back position. At Josh Jacobs, throw him in there. Like, as a whole, like, you're gonna have to go out and pay these guys. These guys can be the difference maker on your team, and you can run your offense through the running back again, which I love.
I hope it gets respected like that.
Go ahead. It's good. What's gonna be interesting now for teams, and I'll use the Bills as an example. James Cook, eligible for a contract extension. Usually you just let that running back play it out, thank him for his services. Now do you do you maybe have to give them a little bit of a bridge deal because he's better than anybody else you're going to find?
Yeah, especially if you make it to the Super Bowl this year. It's at Ryan O'Halloran on X and, of course, the Buffalo News. Glad we got those technical difficulties sorted away, Ryan. Thank you for the insight, buddy. I appreciate you.
All right, fellas. Thanks now.
It's our guy. I'm sure he's very busy today writing about DeBilsch. I laughed that Ben Johnson turned down the Washington job. You shouldn't. One has nothing to do with the other. It worked out for everybody. I see a lot of Commanders fans thumping their chest about that shit, but it's not like he wasn't one of the most coveted offensive minds. And you wouldn't change anything if you're Washington, but Chicago now, Tor, has the benefit of he's not a coordinator that can be poached. He's the head coach. This is the way you have to build and structure your franchise now, I think, moving forward, is that you have to get the guy that's going to be responsible for the quarterback becoming competent as the coach, and then you hire your defensive specialist, because these offensive coordinators get poached too quickly, and that one position is far too valuable. So I think whether or not it works for the Bears, because they're, the La Brea Tar Pit with Brontosaurus is lumbering in there all the time, but they've set themselves up at least for some continuity there for Caleb Williams.
It's gutting to have a great season and you know that it starts feeling different and the offense really starts moving that ball. And then one of the guys, one of the key pieces, if not the key piece in the offensive coordinator that is doing that, is gone. And you have to hope that somebody else is coming in with either a brand new fresh scheme or can be a master analyst and be able to figure out how to replicate a similar scheme. I was gutted when Kyle Shanahan left Atlanta after 2016. I thought there was unfinished business. I was upset because it all changes after that. And Detroit, if they keep the attitude and they keep that fire, I think they can stave off a lot of that negative energy that comes with it. But that has to really come from up top with true belief, because it is always daunting having to learn a new playbook, learn new language. You got new, you're always going to have new teammates next to you. But if it's all happening at once, it's overstimulating. Guys start getting overwhelmed and then missed assignments in the team. How are we 0-3? Well, because there was so much information overload, you couldn't keep up.
I got the Commanders by 6 and the Chiefs by 6. Who you got?
Oh, I'd have Commanders by 3. And
who's going to pick the Chiefs? Who's going to pick the Eagles, Tor? How could you watch the way those two teams performed this weekend and say, yes, Philadelphia is the better team? I don't care if they're playing at home.
I know. It just worries me. It's in division. There's a lot of evil on that from that Eagles Commander Skins dynamic. I think the Bills get it. I do. I'm going to take that optimistic page.
I hope you're right.
And think that the Bills get by. I don't want to say it was all Diggs. I don't want to say it was all this or all that, but it's a different feeling on the team, and it's a different feeling on the Chiefs also. And if the backlash for all the flopping happened this week against the Texans, who I like but don't really care about, okay. But if that gets corrected before this Bills game, because we're shining a light on it now, I think maybe the Bills have a shot.
I feel way better about the Texans and the way they're ended their season, though. I mean, they went into Kansas City and played well enough to win after really just being, you know, a weeping willow twisting in the breeze the entire season. They should lord over the AFC South for quite some time. Thank you to John Rage for being our only super chatter today. Much appreciate you. Thank you to Ryan Halloran for coming on. Of course, Dream State Getaways for sponsoring us. Go sign up for the podcast on Spotify, on iTunes. Leave a 5-star review if you're listening there. Come on over to YouTube and subscribe to @ChadDukeShow. You can like the videos, watch the videos, and watch us when we go live. And of course, if you want to know everything about the show, go to X, and it's @BothTypesSports. For Gigantor, I'm Chad Dukes. I would say more, but I look at the clock and it looks like we've gone long.
Hey, what do you got?
Both Types of Sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long.
Both Types of Sports.